time when we got married, so that's why she still looks so young.
Kind of like Muhammad or something.
Or Gandhi. Well, 13 when they got married. Married for 70 years or something. Whatever, until he got shot. Okay. We're the folks who believe the Bible is literally true and scientifically accurate, and the evolution theory being taught in our schools in violation of the First Amendment is the dumbest and most dangerous religion in the history of planet Earth. I love saying that. You want to be on the program, brother? Tell them all about it. No? Okay. You just keep the network running for us. All right. So you can call in and be on the program. We are live today. You can call 850-479-DINO, 850-479-3466, extension 136, or you can go toll-free, 877-479-3466, same number, and go to extension 136. And
we also have instant messaging working today, same problemo, means without problems. So they can finally AOL instant message us at Dr. Dino Live.
Oh, yay. I've got a bunch left over from yesterday, which I'm going to try to get to here in a minute. I got to click on the little man, though, Jonathan, don't I? I've got a bunch of articles to go over and review, since people look to us to find, the truth of all these things. There we go. I clicked them. We're up and running. Good. Send your messages on. Dr. Dino Live, AOL instant message, DrDinoLive. And was that a test? No, I got them already.
It's already there.
Oh, that was quick. Man, oh, man. Okay, well, let me do some other housekeeping here, and then we'll get to the instant messages as quick as we can. Article, Yahoo News, today, by Maggie Fox, health and science correspondent, which means somebody who corresponds with them on the subject of health or science. Could be, you know, anybody. Could be a janitor, decides to correspond on the subject, so, hey, they're a health correspondent.
Right?
Okay, but unborn U.S. babies are soaking in a stew of chemicals, including mercury, gasoline byproducts, and pesticides, according to a report released on Thursday. Although the effects on the babies is not clear, the survey prompted several members of Congress to press for legislation that would strengthen controls on chemicals in the environment. That's the solution. More laws, right? More power to Congress. That's always the solution. Okay. The report by the Environmental Working Group is based on tests of 10 samples of umbilical cord blood taken by the American Red Cross. They found an average of 287 contaminants in the blood, including mercury, fire retardants, pesticides, and the Teflon chemical PFOA. These 10 newborn babies were born polluted, said New York Representative Louise Slaughter, who spoke at a news conference about the findings Thursday. If ever we had proof that our nation's pollution laws aren't working, it's reading the list of industrial chemicals in the bodies of babies who have not yet lived outside the womb. Wait. Slaughter, a Democrat, said. Slaughter says this is a baby that has not lived outside the womb. Does he mean by that they are living inside the womb, and therefore is he against abortion? Interesting.
Sounds like he believes they're living inside the womb.
Yeah. Who have not yet lived outside the womb. I'd be interested to know, is Slaughter, the Democrat from New York, for abortion? Is he pro-death or pro-life? Rather than, you know, anti-abortion and, you know, pro-choice, I think it's more descriptive and more true, pro-life or pro-death. You know, that way they both have a positive-sounding name. Cord blood reflects what the mother passes to the baby through the placenta. Of the 287 chemicals we detected in umbilical cord blood, we know that 180 cause cancer in humans or animals, 217 are toxic to the brain and nervous system, 208 cause birth defects or abnormal development in animal tests, the report said. Blood tests did not show how the chemicals got into the mother's bodies or what their effect might be on the babies. All right. Well, goes on and on talking about mercury and stuff like that. Interesting. I think it is tragic, and I'm definitely in favor of, you know, being healthy and et cetera, et cetera. However, I'm a little concerned about, you know, saying the government is the one supposed to fix this. That is the socialist philosophy I think we should always be alert for. Jonathan, you gave me this one here. Today's date, July 14th of 05. Stem cell research with monkeys sparks debate.
I just printed it off fresh. So.
Grafting human cells into animals' brains seen having ethical ramifications. The insertion of human stem cells into monkey brains runs a real risk of altering the animal's abilities in ways that might even make them more like us. Well, that'd be tragic. Then they'd run around shooting each other and, you know,
to pull a lot more people together and
drive-by shootings.
People. Yeah.
You know, banana trees would be littered with dead bodies of monkeys at the bottom.
They have swing-by tossings of bananas.
That's right.
little Crips and Bloods.
To be drive by fruiting. Actually, yeah.
Drive by fruiting.
That's exactly. That's it. That's what we need, is the monkeys to be more like us. So they start aborting their babies and starting wars, you know. Oh, brother. Okay. A panel of 22 experts, including primatologists, stem cell researchers, lawyers. That'll solve the problem. Get some lawyers in there.
Hey, all right.
Oh, yeah. That'll fix it. Wow. He said, if all the lawyers in the world were laid end to end around the equator, that'd be a very good thing. Let's see. Lawyers and philosophers. Now those guys will fix everything. Those philosophers, yeah.
Contemplate
their belly button, you know, for hours.
Yeah, it comes to the role of their, you know, what their position is there.
They debated the possible consequences of the technique for more than a year. Who paid their salary while they debated this?
Dr. Hovind, I believe it was you and I, probably.
Probably, yeah. Pay their salary for a year.
Unfortunately.
While the group agrees it is unlikely that grafting human stem cells into the brains of non-human primates would alter the animal's abilities in morally relevant ways, the members also felt strongly that the risk of doing so is real and too ethically important to ignore. In the case of Alzheimer's research, for example, grafting human stem cells into a monkey brain would be designed to reinstate lost memory function. But we cannot be certain that this will be the only functional result, the report concludes. There was considerable controversy within the group, which disagreed on whether such experiments, some already underway, should proceed. And long article here about stem cell research. Here's the problem. Most of the diseases they're wanting to fix with stem cell research can already be prevented or fixed with vitamins, minerals, nutrition. Okay? A whole bunch of the research being done is barking up the wrong tree. You know, they're trying to fix something that's already fixable another way. And I think it's sad to say, but most of the medical profession is so bent on drug therapy, they don't seem to comprehend. There's a much bigger picture here, guys, you know. If I took my car to a mechanic and said, hey, it's making a noise, and he said, oh, hey, I've got this new super insulation. I'm going to insulate the hood and the fenders and the firewall, and you won't hear a thing. Excuse me, sir, aren't you treating the symptom, not the cause? You know, it's not the noise I'm worried about, it's what's causing the noise. And same thing when you get a headache, you know, oh, here, take an aspirin, we can take away your headache. Well, duh, what caused the headache, you know? It wasn't the lack of an aspirin that caused your headache, for heaven's sake. They treat symptoms instead of causes, and I think that's a real serious problem. Okay, a couple of more news items, and we'll get to your instant messages here. Astronomers detect Tatooine planet. Tatooine?
That's from Star Wars.
Is it?
Yeah, it's a planet that has three suns, I think, something like that. Tatooine.
A planet with three suns. How do you know when it's daylight? I mean, you go in between them, or you go around all three, or what?
Oh, I don't know. We have to take some very serious investigation of the Star Wars films. But of course, if people out there want to fund our research, I'll sit and watch.
Sure. Sit and watch Star Wars for $100 an hour, no problem.
The big screen actually shows Tatooine, so we can actually watch it on the big screen at the rave or something, the movie theater here.
We could show it in our movie theater here in Dinosaur Adventureland, you know. It's 9 by 12 screen.
It'll go from a movie theater to a research laboratory.
True.
Unless you're Australian, it's a laboratory.
Laboratory.
Yeah.
That'll work. Astronomers detect Tatooine planet. Is this today's date? Yep, 7/14. The planet, a gas giant slightly larger than Jupiter, orbits...
Did you see the subtitle on that?
Oh. Astronomers have detected a planet outside our solar system, but with not one, but three suns, a finding that challenges astronomers' theories of planetary formation.
They got to rethink them again.
Oh. They keep rethinking all these theories, you know, but they never, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. I believe the Bible talks about some guys like that. The planet, a gas giant slightly larger than Jupiter, orbits the main star of a triple star system known as HD 188753 in the constellation Cygnus. The stellar trio and its planet are about 149 light years from Earth and about as close to each other as our sun is to Saturn. They got three suns in an area that size. I'm having a hard time buying that one. Okay. U.S. scientists reported on Thursday in the current edition of the journal Nature. A light year is about 6 trillion miles, the distance light travels in a year. If you stood on the planet's surface, you would see three suns in the sky, although its orbit centers around the main yellow star among the trio. The larger of the two other two suns would be orange, and the smaller would be red, astronomers at California Institute of Technology said in a statement. So what is this? Is this basically send more money so we can keep NASA going?
Well, they got to get bigger telescopes, I guess, you know.
Sure. Now we found this planet. What good is it going to do 149 light years from here? Nothing, but we need to study it.
It confirms the Star Wars hypothesis. So George Lucas, he's in for the bucks now. I mean,
you know, I would be curious, did they see the planet or did they see the star wobble and assumed a planet?
You can't see a planet
149 light years from here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I would have to have that proven to me. I'm not from Missouri, but I'm right next door from Illinois, and I would say I don't think so.
You look at the next statement after that, it says the new finding could upset existing theories that planets usually form out of gas and dust circling in a singular star, and could lead scientists to look into new places for planets.
I see more government funding here for useless research.
Gotta be, I mean, you know.
Yep. Caltech astronomer, Polish name, who wrote the research article, refers to the new type of planets as tattooing planets because of the similarity of Luke Skywalker's view of his home planet by the same name with its multiple suns in the original Star Wars film. You were right, Jonathan. I never saw that.
It's in the latest one, too.
You watch all the Star Wars stuff?
Seen them all. I'm a big Star Wars idiot. I guess I'm a big fan, I guess.
I don't know that I've seen any of them. I've seen the bits and pieces of them.
Mm-hmm.
This is where they swing their plastic lightsabers or something.
Lightsabers. They can cut through everything except for themselves, which is kind of awkward. A lightsaber can cut through practically any metal you think of, but it can't cut through another lightsaber. And, of course, in space, you can hear explosions and all that type of stuff.
With no sound, with no air.
Sound. Yep, none of it.
You can still hear the explosion, though.
Yep. We've got video evidence. I mean, you can go to the movie theater right now and
I did tour Hollywood and saw how they did Star Wars. You know, the little bitty models they got hanging up there, and they make them, you know, look like they're on, you know, a bazillion miles an hour. Okay, here we go. Another article, and we'll get to your newsletters or your comments here. I'll tell you what, let me take a few, and I'll save that article for later. That'll take a little while. Okay, we have one from Sergeant Callie. He writes, hi to Dr. Hovind. Got two questions. Do you know anything about the Book of Kells, K-E-L-L-S? If not, don't bother. Just go do a quick Google search if you're curious. What is the Book of Kells, Jonathan? Did you search that up?
No idea. No idea.
No, search that. Sorry, Sergeant Callie. Have never heard of the Book of Kells, K-E-L-L-S. Says, I'm a little confused about the Ica stones. First, they prove dinosaurs and humans together. Then they are fraud. Then they are not fraud. Then some are frauds and some are not. If you say in your seminar you got much info on your webpage, but I couldn't find anything. Could you help me out? You also mentioned some good sources. They always want sources in debates. Don't take my word for anything. And to end, keep on doing what you're doing. You rock, though you're not related to one. And what is it with you and hurricanes? Carl-Robert. Well, Carl, we like hurricanes down here.
I don't know. You probably have to speak for yourself there.
Okay, I like hurricanes. They, you know, get all the weak limbs off the trees. I can see them hanging out there right now, you know. They give the guy something to do, rake in the yard. You know.
A little bit of rain right now.
Yeah, a little rain today.
Yeah.
Blows all the mosquitoes out of the state. Florida's not real bad on mosquitoes, though. Not like some places.
Got some cockroaches about the size of a, you know, size 10
small
foot.
Small dog.
Yeah.
Well, kids ride them down the street, you know. I saw two of them on one the other day. I said, guys, you're going to hurt his back. Come on, one at a time. But, okay, so let's see. The hurricanes. I don't know about that. I've lived here 16 years, and we've had four.
I've got a scientific, I believe it's Scientific American magazine up in my office called Controlling Hurricanes. And I've not read the article yet. It's several months old. I buy these things, and I lay them down and just forget to read them. But it's actually, I think they're talking about possible mechanisms of, you know, fighting or controlling or creating these things or... I was looking through. They talk about the anatomy of a hurricane. It's a pretty interesting article. I'll have to check more into that, though.
Maybe it's God sending them down here to blow away all the chemtrail stuff they're spraying out. You know,
who knows?
Have you read about the chemtrails?
Nope, nothing yet.
Go to Google and type in chemtrails for chemical trails.
You got to type in chemtrails in the Book of Kells now.
Yep,
on Google.
It's amazing the stuff being sprayed on us.
You know,
okay,
he was mentioning the Ica stones. Probably the latest and greatest. You know, resource for the Ica stones, the latest research, would be the Creation Bootcamp video. Dr. Dennis Swift himself.
Did we lose our connection here? Are we still connected to Truth Radio? Hello.
I believe we are.
We just had lightning strike and got a little power glitch. So let's assume we're still out there. If you can hear us, somebody send us. If you don't hear us, don't send a message. How's that?
I don't know.
Well, we're going to redial, folks, and assume we lost it. So we'll be dead for a second as we redial the connection. You have to redial?
No, we're connected right now.
Oh, we are? Okay. Yep. Lightning and thunder loves Pensacola. I like thunderstorms, too. I remember as a kid, my dad took us out, you know, and we'd always watch the thunder and clap, and yay, Jesus. I did that with my kids, too, and now the grandkids, and it's wonderful. Okay, so I'm going to assume you're out there. You asked about Ica stones.
Here. Do you want me to redial?
Yeah, we'll redial just to be safe, okay? Hang on here, folks.
It is clear that Dr. Hovind doesn't know that he is disconnected. I mean, I believe that to be true.
I don't know where you're reconnected again. Go ahead, Dr. Hovind.
Okay. Is that Richard on there?
One of the greatest helpers for Truth Radio in the past has been those of you who have signed up for Lifeline telephone service, long-distance service, and local service, internet service, and now the Lifeline company, Lifeline Communications, is offering service through T-Mobile. If you have a cell phone, or if you would like to have a cell phone service that really works and has really modern, neat equipment and a great approach to this whole business of cell phone, and you want to help Truth Radio at the same time, then may I recommend that you call 800, that's 800-311-2418. That's 800-311-2418. And tell them that you want to sign up for T-Mobile through Lifeline. Phone 1-800-311-2418. Your participation with Lifeline will help Truth Radio.
With Moments Together, here's Dennis Rainey. These days, a lot of people talk about accountability. But what is it? The Apostle Paul explained in Ephesians 5:21, be subject to one another in the fear of the Lord. This type of accountability brings spiritual strength, growth, and balance. Did you know that your marriage is the perfect arena for accountability? My wife Barbara and I have worked out three major areas in which we are accountable to one another. First, in our schedules. We help each other make good decisions by monitoring one another's workloads and schedules. Next, our values. We regularly talk about what we believe, what we think is important to our family. And last is faithfulness. It seemed threatening at first, but Barbara and I have learned to talk about what tempts us. We can now easily diffuse these threats to our marriage. Are you and your mate accountable to one another? Pray that God would help you be subject to one another so that your mate can be your number one accountability partner.
Moments Together with Dennis Rainey is made possible by Regal Books, the Moments Together devotional series at Christian bookstores or regalbooks.com.
All right, folks, welcome back to the Creation Science Hour and a Half. This is July 14th, 2005. We are live and on the air. Is my wireless working? Is that what you're doing? Oh, okay. Send me a message, John. See if it comes through. We now have a wireless. Wow. Modern technology. Anyway, we're the folks who believe the Bible is literally true and scientifically accurate. The evolution theory is the dumbest and most dangerous religion in the history of planet Earth. And those are the kind things we say about it. So, we're getting dealing with messages here to get all my stuff working. Let's see, about the Ica stones. Okay, I'll just cover that while they do the techno guys do their thing. In 1535, these stones were discovered, and of course the Ica Indians knew about them from about the year 500 A.D., when most of them were carved. There are three different civilizations that lived in this region over the 1,000-year span. Dennis Swift from Beaverton, Oregon, spoke at our creation boot camp about the Ica stones. If you want to get just a wealth of information, I mean, the guy talks as fast as I do and covers a ton of stuff in a very, very short time. He doesn't have a website, though, does he, Jonathan? Dennis Swift, just an email. Just go to our website, Dr. Dino, and look up Creation Boot Camp video series. It's 15 hours of teaching on from various different speakers on creation versus evolution. It's Carl Baugh, Jack Cavazzo, Dennis Swift, and myself. Great conference. You get the whole thing on DVD for $99. And he's got, I think, is there 2 hours by Dennis Swift or three in there? At least two. Might be three. So if you want more on the Ica stones, do that. So here's what happened. Since 1535, when they were discovered, different people, you know, took these as a curiosity and said, wow, this is kind of strange. You know, what are these animals on here? Then they kind of forgotten about, and one guy down there began to do a collection of these stones, a Dr. Cabrera, and he collected over 11,000 of these stones from a couple of different farmers, primarily, who were finding them in burial caves. And doing analysis of them. Then somebody discovered, hey, tourists will buy these, and so some frauds were produced. There definitely are some fraud Ica stones out there. That's not the question. So your question about are they frauds, are they legitimate, I would answer yes to both of them. Okay, some are frauds, some are legitimate. Same thing with the dinosaur and human footprints in Texas. At least 7 human fraud footprints were carved. I mean, but they look like a kindergartner did them. I mean, anybody with a brain can figure out that's a fraud. And the real ones are like, man, oh, man, they're incredible. You know, I mean, even down to the dermal ridges, the basic equivalent of fingerprints on the toes, you know. And the stride, the straddle, and the castor and camber and all that stuff was exactly correct. So, no, they're not frauds. Okay, let's see. Instant message. So as far as the Ica stones, what happened was, I think it was Nova or somebody went down there to interview the farmer who was finding these stones. And right behind the camera were two police officers from the Peruvian police. And down there, the jail sentence in Peru is about the same as the death sentence. I mean, it's really, you don't want to go to jail in Mexico. You really don't want to go to jail in Peru. Well, down there, it's against the law to sell Peruvian treasures without a special license. Of course, it all goes back to the money. You follow the yellow brick road. And this farmer then tells the people, oh, I make those stones and sell them.
Now, am I right? And I believe I heard that there were like several thousands of these stones found.
But just Cabrera had 11,000 in his collection.
And so this farmer's claiming to have made all of these stones?
Well, Dennis Swift covers that in his seminar that he covers about the stones. The farmer is not making them. First place, when you ask the farmer to make one, this is hard rock. We've got 8 of them in our museum here.
Mm-hmm.
You have to cut it with a hacksaw, okay? To carve these round curves and all this stuff on these Ica stones would require some real interesting abilities. And, of course, when you cut rock with a hacksaw, it leaves little metal filings behind stuck in the rock.
Mm-hmm.
So they've analyzed the stones under high-powered stereo microscopes, and you can spot the fake from the originals just in a half a second. Oh, that's a fake one,
because
there's little metal shavings in it. There's also a desert patina that gets developed over the time on these Ica stones. And we've got one in our museum that has real heavy desert varnish, they call it. And plus, there are things on these stones that were not known about dinosaurs until the last 15 years. Like, for instance, the circles on the side, circle patterns in the skin. Well, it was 15 years ago, 1990, when fossilized dinosaur skin was found, and it had circle patterns on it. So since then, we've had several chunks of dinosaur skin. Now, we've got one in our museum now. Come on down and see it. so So anyway, yes, some of the stones are fake, but there are certainly, most of them are legitimate. And you can talk to Dennis Swift in Beaverton, Oregon. It's Pastor Dennis Swift. He's a doctor, a doctor's degree. I think he has three doctor's degrees. But you can talk to him in Beaverton, Oregon. It's a Portland suburb. Just get his phone number out of the phone book. I'm sure it's in there. Or get the videotapes he did for a boot camp. So far, it's only available as a series, and we're going to discount the price now. It's been several months since boot camp, and discount the prices. Great messages that need to be out there. Okay. Let's see. Next question. Iowa Candy Corn Man says, hi, I have a few questions. I need your advice. I work for a company that works with a mentally and physically disabled person. Unfortunately, this company accepts tax dollars. What should I do? I don't understand what that question is. The company accepts tax dollars.
Yeah, but
a lot of companies do that. I guess I don't see a problem with
that. I guess they're maybe saying they're supported by tax dollars and they work with the mentally and physically handicapped.
Okay.
I don't know. I guess it's not really too clear.
Yeah. Send me another message there, Iowa Candy Corn Man. Tell me what you want to know about that one. That says, what should I do? Question two, what's your opinion of donating blood? I have given blood many times. I'm not super radical, I guess, either way. I know the Jehovah's Witnesses, you know, they say life of the flesh is in the blood, and, you know, you shouldn't give blood or receive blood.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's one of hundreds of things they're just really dumb about, okay?
Yeah.
But, I mean, it'll save your life. I don't think I've ever been given blood, but I've given it a few times. I'm O positive, so I'm the universal donor. Anybody can take mine.
You're O positive?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Is that what you are?
I think so. Either O positive or O negative.
So you're not positive if you're positive?
I'm not too positive, no.
You don't want to be O negative.
I'm sorry, A negative.
You're A negative?
Yeah.
That's pretty rare.
That's what I am.
I believe AB negative is the rarest. Now, if you get married, that'll be real serious if your wife is not negative.
Yep.
Because my son and his wife, one's positive, one's negative, Ken Andrew and Danielle.
Mm-hmm.
And the doctor said, boy, after two kids, that's running a risk. You know.
Well, I always, I donate blood regularly. Whenever they're in town, the blood taker people, they always call me and say, hey, we're going to be in your area. And I guess my whole personal philosophy, and I can't say this is a biblical stance on anything, but me personally, I think Christ poured out his blood for me. So if I can pour out a little bit of mine to help somebody else, keep their life.
Well, it's healthy for you, too. It helps get rid of the iron overload.
Mm-hmm.
Men tend to quickly accumulate iron. You need to go to Bill Sardi's website, billsardi.com, S-A-R-D-I, for more on that.
Besides, you get a free cookie and donut.
What else could you ask for?
I know. I mean, it's tough to get a free cookie and donut nowadays.
So give blood. Yep. Okay, so my opinion is go for it, okay? As far as the first question about helping mentally and physically disabled persons, unfortunately, this company accepts tax dollars. I don't understand what the conflict is there. Okay, I'm going to try to take a few of these questions from yesterday, Jonathan. Get me more if they come in. But I still have some that I feel bad about leaving them hanging, and we're going to try to do that as days as possible.
Well, people who have questions, they can send them right now over AOL Instant Messenger. It's just a free messaging program from AOL.com. To our screen name, Dr. Dino Live, DrDinolive, and that'll come to me, Jonathan Sampson, and I'll pass it through to Dr. Kent Hovind.
All right, from yesterday, a couple of we left hanging, and we'll try to do this as much as time permits. Lard Star writes in, hi, I was watching the Food Channel one day when I heard a major contradiction. The host said we evolved licking salt, but later says we need salt to even walk. We evolved licking salt.
Is it licking or liking?
Huh. We evolved liking salt? I guess it is liking salt. Okay. Get my bifocals working here. We evolved liking salt. What's the Food Channel talking about evolution for?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Everyone's going to get their toe in nowadays.
Right.
Have you seen that movie Master and Commander?
Yes.
With, I think, Russell Crowe's in there. Uh-huh. The whole thing is absolutely just full of evolution. They actually go to the Galapagos and,
right.
Is the Lord changing these animals or are they changing themselves? And it's all through the entire. It's amazing the percentage of that movie that was just dedicated to evolution.
Yeah.
You got the scientist on board who wants to spend time on these islands collecting these rare birds. And
before Darwin even went.
Apparently
there.
He's supposed to be, you know, symbolic of how important Darwin was, you know. All right, break time. We'll be back, and we'll get lunch back question, and everybody else, I got a bunch here. We'll be back in a minute. Thank you.
Listen to this bit of history. I heard him speak it.
I, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, do solemnly swear that I will faithfully execute the office of President of the United States and will, to the best of my ability, preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. No help to God.
Such passion, such words of meaning, and yet such futility. Franklin Delano Roosevelt knew very well from his law training that when he pledged to defend and protect the Constitution of the United States, that he was pledging to defend and protect a mishmash of changing concepts. Changed like wind blows sand. The Constitution needs to be upheld in its original meaning, of its original words. Spread the word. Listening to Truth Radio. Our address is Post Office Box 344, Nipomo, California. That's Post Office Box 344, NIPOMO, Nipomo, California, 93444. Write to us. If you go to Google and put in the name Gavin DeBecker, G-A-V-I-N-D-E-B-E-C-K-E-R, you'll see that though you probably haven't heard of this man, he's very well known in a lot of circles for his being one of the chief authorities on violence and the reason to fear it. He's written the book Fear Less. Interesting title. Magnificent book. I found a quantity of these, a small quantity, and I'd be glad to share one of these with you for a very little donation to Truth Radio. This book is a secular treatment of the concept of fear, what we should be afraid of, and how we should deal with it. P.O. Box 344, Nipomo, California, 93444 is the address to use. Donate anything you choose when you ask for Fear Less, a book by Gavin DeBecker.
Alright folks, welcome back to the Creation Science Hour and a Half. Actually only 1 hour left. Now this is Kent Hovind and Jonathan Sampson live, July 14th. I don't know that day. Anniversary. Wife graduated from high school and got married and moved off to college in Michigan, and I had finished, I was just before my senior year in college, you got married, John. And finished our last year up at college together. It was great. Took a 18-hour load, worked 40 hours a week.
General Motors, tough job.
And ran a bus route for our church. And my wife worked in the shipping out the mail room at the church where they had like 15,000 newsletters that went out once a month. Dr. Malone's newsletter.
Was this before the automatic stamp lickers?
This was an old addressograph machine with a little metal plates. And you had to load a tray of the plates, run them through to stamp the address on. When we got there, they got 15,000 newsletters going out. I went over one night to see what's going on after work, like 1 in the morning. They're still there organizing these things.
Mm-hmm.
they would print the addresses on all these 15,000 newsletters, bring them in just 50 boxes to this basement of the church, and they had 40 tables all set up with little cards up there with different zip codes on there. I said, what's going on? They said, we're sorting the newsletters by zip code because we get a cheaper rate that way. I said, okay, why don't you sort the plates so it already prints them by the right zip code? Oh, that's a good idea. For years, they had been printing them and then sorting the newsletters. So my wife and I spent probably 2 weeks sorting the plates so that when they come off the end, you bundle them up and they're done. Of course, now with a database, you would think that's archaic. You know, you want to sort by zip code, you click one button and click, you know. I have spent hours and hours and hours moving little metal plates around for the old addressograph machine. I hope all those things burn in hell forever, those addressograph machines. Okay, here we go. Hope I never see one again. Here we go. Iowa Candy Corn Man writes in, a while ago you called welfare a communist program because the program is supported by tax dollars. This is where my conflict lies. I'm trying to decide if I think it is okay for the company to accept tax dollars, which ends paying me. Anyway, just wondering what your opinion thinks. Oh, that's a tough call. I guess I wouldn't see a problem there. You are doing a service and being reimbursed for it. Okay, you work 40 hours, they pay you X dollars. I mean, that's a contract between you and them. Where they get their money, in one sense, doesn't matter, and it probably does in a bigger picture, but I don't see any conflict there.
I don't know. I just see, you know, one level down from that, we shouldn't be forced to pay for, you know, Henry's uncle's, you know, food or something. We shouldn't be forced to take care of other people's grandparents or something like that. No, it's a good thing to do, you know, love your neighbor.
But to be forced to do it.
To be forced to do it, and that's when the problem comes in there.
Yeah. Well, there's no question. I mean, the government stepped in because the church neglected its duties.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if the church was taking care of the needy, for one thing, the problem would be much less because there's a more local control over it. The pastor knows, hey, this guy's, you know, he's not really needing to be on welfare, you know. When I was at a church in California, I was assistant pastor out there, they had somebody, the church was right on the main road, so they'd have somebody stop in every 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
They all got a story already, you know, it's a sob story. Grandma's dying of a heart attack. I just need $20 for gas to go visit her before she dies.
Okay, here's some good ones. Have you ever traveled Greyhound?
Hear all the stories,
stuff,
right?
Yeah.
So there's a pastor dealing with these people every couple hours, stopping in some, you know, somebody off the street. And some of them are legitimate stories. I understand people have hard times. I've had hard times in my life. Had to get some help. Well, so we finally, I said, Pastor, this is going to wear you out. And plus, you got all these judgment calls to make, and it's just not fair. I said, I'll tell you a simple way to sort out the serious ones from the non-serious. Let's establish a fund, put a couple $100 in it, and I'll be in charge if you'd like. I've got a whole list of things I'd like to see done around the church. You know, we want to paint the swing sets. We want to, you know, rake out the gravel, pull the weeds in the parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I made a list of 100 things that needed to be done that were pretty much low-brainer stuff or no-brainer stuff. You know, anybody pretty much could do it. I said, let's just tell the people we'll pay them $5 an hour, which back then, you know, was, you know, decent.
Toward the place by zip code.
Yeah, I could have. A different church. But I said, so whenever somebody comes, say, oh, hey, yes, our church will be glad to help you. We understand you need $20 to go visit Grandma, but go see Brother Hovind. They would come see me, and I would say, oh, hey, that's great, man. We got a lot needs done around here. Here's the list. I'll show you what needs to be done. See this parking lot right here? We want all the weeds pulled out and put them in this garbage can right here. 95% of the people would say, I'll come back later, and never come back.
Yeah. Well, the Bible says the man doesn't work, he didn't.
Right. They don't want a job.
Some people, you know, I can see some people just, they can't. You know, some people can't work. They just have some disease, which may be caused from things that they did.
Sure, but still, they can't work, right.
Yeah, so, I mean, but it should be up to, you know, their local church or their family to take care of them. Other people shouldn't be forced to take care of them.
Correct. And if the family knew, let's suppose the children knew, hey, Dad, you're drinking and you're going to be an alcoholic and I got to pay for you to have food when you get old, quit drinking.
Yeah.
You know, knock it off. There'd be more pressure, I think.
Him destroying himself at his kid's expense, basically.
I mean, he's drinking up their inheritance, and he really is.
Mm-hmm.
But see, now he's drinking up my inheritance, and I don't even know the guy.
Yeah. Not fair.
I mean, not fair at all. Right.
That's slavery right
If you want
there.
To drink, honestly, that's fine. If you want to smoke, take drugs, that's fine. None of that bothers me. What bothers me is they want me to pay for it when they get sick.
We have to buy the iron lung that keeps them ticking.
Right. Sure. You want to drink, go for it. You want me to pay for it, now we've got a problem. Also, if you want to drink, that's fine. But you want to drink and drive on the highway where I am with my kids and grandkids, now we also have a problem.
Yeah.
Okay. Don't drink and drive on the highway that I'm driving on.
Okay.
If I see you drinking, I will call the police immediately and follow you until they pick up the tail. Okay? Done it many times.
Yeah, I had to do it just the other day. I walked out of Whataburger about a month ago or so, and some guy stumbled out of his car in the parking lot. So as I was driving away, just called the cops and told him there's a guy stumbling around. He's not driving, but he just got out of his car stumbling around, and of course he's going to be driving here pretty soon.
Yep.
And they went over there and took care of it.
See, if everybody would report people that are drinking and driving... I mean, right now, the people that are drinking and driving are scared a cop's going to see them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they ought to be scared anybody sees them. I'm going to get called in. They're going to, you know, get my license number. You know, I don't care if you drink. Just don't drink and drive on the highway.
It's like civil arrest or something. What is that called?
Citizen's arrest.
Citizen's arrest. There we
right.
go. Yeah.
Well, it's like if somebody wants to, you know, read the map and talk on their cell phone and get directions to somebody's house, that's fine. Just don't stop in the middle of the highway and do it, you know. Get off the road, get in the parking lot, and do that.
Mm-hmm.
But don't stop in front of the interstate, block traffic while you do it. Tell Bill Clinton he's going to get a haircut. Great. Don't block the L.A. airport to
oh,
do it.
I heard about that. He flew his plane in and stopped the whole thing. Just
2 hours. Well, that's what power does to people. It corrupts. You know, they think they are so important. Nobody else matters.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
Absolute power.
Classic
corrupts,
example.
Yeah.
So acceptance of tax dollars for... a company where you work. I don't know. I drive on a highway probably built by some alcoholics and drug addicts and Mormons and cult leaders and who knows who else. It doesn't matter.
Well, there's Albertsons. I've heard Albertsons.
Owned by the Morons.
Yeah, owned by the Mormons. But, boy, have they got some good discounts sometimes. Went there just a few weeks ago, or July 4th, actually, to buy flowers for girlfriend and her mom. Some good flowers.
Oh, yeah. Those My
Mormons.
Wife gets her food there.
Yeah.
Hey, they produce good stuff. We'll do it. I had Mormon neighbors out in California, great people, you know. I said, man, I like living next to you guys. You're moral. You're honest. I think some of the things you believe are dumb, you know, but I'd
rather... Food is cheap. Yeah.
You're not going to steal from me, you know. Just like these people believe you can lose your salvation. They make great neighbors, too,
mm-hmm.
you know, because a Baptist... He can steal from you, and he's still going to heaven. But, man, these guys steal from you. They're dying going to hell, you know, because they're going to lose their salvation. You know, did I tell you the story about the Quaker had a cow that just was real stubborn and bullheaded, and he's trying to get the cow to go across to the market, you know, and the cow just doesn't want to obey. And he walks around in front of the cow. He says, cow, thou dost know that I am a Quaker, and thou dost know that I mayest not lose my temper. But what thou dost not know is that I am about to sell thee to the Baptist, and he shall beat the devil out of thee. Okay, let's go back to the story. What's your opinion, Iowa Candy Corn Man? I don't know, unless there's some major, you know, I wouldn't work for a company doing abortions, but probably if you dig deep enough, there's something wrong with everything. You know, you're going to end up drawing a really small circle for you to stand in to say, here's the only thing I can do. You know, you're not going to drive a General Motors because GM may support something else, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where to draw the line on this boycott stuff. And
there's probably a link somewhere in every chain that somebody's not going to like.
It's a network.
Yeah.
A matrix.
I mean, you look at right now, if you had a topography of the Internet or something, you know, links going everywhere, all over the place, every link connecting every other link. I mean, you know, the NIV or something is owned by Zondervan, and Zondervan's owned by some other book company who publishes a Satanic Bible.
Right.
I mean, you can find some really bizarre links everywhere you go. You could say, oh, well, you know, Dr. Hovind is a Baptist, and there was this Baptist that did this one thing on this one, you know, tennis shoes, and so he was endorsing Nike or something. You know, you could create some crazy links someplace.
And,
too.
Oh, some people do. I've seen Christians, they go nuts over their separation. I respect their right to do that, but I think they're a little goofy on, you know, some of the lines they draw.
Didn't you say there was a church or something that separated over... Adam and Eve's belly button or something.
Southern
like
California. They split the church over, did Adam and Eve have a belly button? One of them went across town and started the Church of the Navalites.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, that's worth splitting the church over.
Yeah.
Hey, if anything is, boy, you might as well split it over that. One church split over which side the piano should go on. And so they ended up holding two services. The first group would come in and move the piano to their side, and they'd sing their songs. And then the other group would come in and move it back to their side and sing their songs.
It was on rollers, right?
I hope so. Or else they got a sore back.
You know what they could do? Just encourage all of their church-going members just to cross their eyes during the service. Now you got a piano on both sides.
We got a picture of Stephanie. Did I tell you about that?
Uh-uh.
Eric, on the bus on the way back home from Georgia the other day, was teaching my granddaughter Stephanie, who's 2.5 years old, how to use the video camera.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you look through this little hole and take the picture. Well, she doesn't understand the concept of close one eye and look through with one eye, so it was so funny. As she gets closer to the camera, her eyes go crossed. She's trying to look through this little hole with both eyes. So I've got a picture of her with her eyes crossed trying to focus through that thing. Oh, it is so funny. Eric about wrecked the bus. He was driving at the time. He said, Dad, you got to get a picture of this. We'll use that in her wedding someday, you know.
Oh, my goodness.
Here's Stephanie learning to use a camera.
She's brilliant, though.
She is brilliant, yeah. You know. But for 2.5. But it was funny. I've got it in my camera. I can show you the picture.
Post that on the website or something like that.
2.5-year-old kid, cross-eyed, trying to look through this viewfinder. Grandpa's not working. I can't see through it. Here we go. Nuk, N-E-W-C, 1979, says, hello, I was having a conversation with a friend the other day and was wondering if it would be possible for Adam and Eve to have different personalities before they sinned. Also, I was wondering if you have any plans to visit the Massachusetts area. Adam and Eve, different personalities before they sinned.
Seems like, you know, most Christians, they have a different personality before they accept Christ as their Savior. You know, you become a new creature. It's like I was speaking with somebody, and before I got saved, I really didn't have any convictions about cussing, smoking, drinking, and all that type of, you know, stuff like that. But once you accept Christ and you truly do become a new creature, you start getting these weird convictions. Like,
yeah, something changes inside.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to hear those these jokes anymore.
Yep.
I don't know if I want to talk like that anymore, do what I used to do anymore. Your personality, it's an inward change. It just boils up out of you.
Well, an apple tree produces apples.
Mm-hmm.
What if there are no apples on it?
Still an apple tree.
Still an apple tree. And given time, it probably will produce apples.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it is the nature of the tree to produce the apples. The apple apples don't make it an apple tree. The apples prove it's an apple tree or demonstrate that it's an apple tree. But it was an apple tree before it had apples on it, okay? And we're sinners, even if we're not currently sinning, okay? We're sinners by nature. That's what we are. Now, you try to avoid that, you know, of course, as much as possible. But it's interesting, you know, a pig and a sheep can both fall into the mud. The pig loves it, and the sheep hates it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a different nature. Boy, same thing with me. When I got saved at age 16, something changed. You know, I just don't want to hang around these guys anymore. You know, I don't want to do that.
That's what we've got. Dan Johnson here on staff. He's a really funny guy. Real, you know, smart, great imagination. Does a lot of the jokes and some skits for boot camp. So when he got saved, he was a bartender, and you know, he was still going to work at the bar, but something was weird. You know, he really felt really bad for even doing that, and
right.
Eventually had to quit his job. You know, because here he was, just got saved and serving alcohol to people. Just blew his mind, you know?
Mm-hmm. That's a good sign that a person is saved when they don't want. I mean, they may still be doing things that are wrong, but they don't want to anymore.
Yeah, now you struggle with it. I mean,
you struggle with it.
It goes from a complete embracing of.
What's the pig and the sheep, you know?
Yeah.
I don't want to be in this mud puddle.
I'm going to try to stay out of it now.
But now I want to try to stay out. Yeah. Good. So, did I have any different personalities? Boy, I'll have to give that a qualified, I don't know.
You could think about it. You know, Adam and Eve, they walked with God. You know, that would kind of give you some insight.
Their personality changed when they sinned because now they wanted to avoid God.
Yeah, they jumped behind the bushes.
Right.
You know? I was scared that you were coming.
Yep.
I guess you could find some indirect evidence of something changed, something drastic changed, and we're feeling the reverbs of it today.
Hmm. All right. And also Massachusetts. Boy, I have spoken in Holyoke twice, Springfield, Lowell, Hanson, south of Boston. I was speaking at this church in Hanson, Massachusetts. They got all these streets running every which way. Nothing's labeled. I mean, their streets run curving around. I mean, no straight streets in the whole state, I don't think. Everything curving all over the place, you know, and apparently they followed cow trails or something. I said to the pastor at the church, I said, there are no street signs. I am totally lost. How do people know where they are around here? I mean, what? He said, well, the people that live here know where they are and don't need the street signs, and we figure if somebody else comes in here and doesn't know where they are, they shouldn't be here anyway. Tell them to go home. Okay.
Well, when I'm from Belmont, Illinois, the street signs were usually little natural indicators. You know, we'll go about a quarter mile down the road until you see that big rock on the side with
a flower growing up behind it.
Yeah, a flower growing up behind it. Turn left and go down to the, you know,
to the cow.
Cow farm.
The cow hasn't moved.
You know. Kind of some really odd street signs there, but, you know, they're cheaper. You don't have to fashion them and paint them.
Yeah. Well, Groveland, Illinois, where my brother still lives, I lived right next to him. You know, we were from East Peoria to Groveland, 10 miles away. Population 600.
Mm-hmm.
You know, loved it out there. Walk out in the yard, you want to shoot the gun, just go for it, you know.
Well, we've got people sending in some messages right now, and anybody else out there has questions for Dr. Hoven here, you can send your questions over AOL Instant Messenger, Dr. Dino Live, DrDinolive, and that will come instantly to me thanks to fiber optics and high-speed internet, and I will pass that along to Dr. Hoven thanks to wireless internet, because you're on the wireless internet right now.
As of today, wow, this is high-tech stuff.
Working smoothly.
I don't know or care much about that, but that's good. Okay.
Now, you look at this. This is a connection. There's some type of connection between your computer and the router that we have up here. And we know it's there. I can't feel it right now. I can't see it. I can't smell it. But it's there. I mean, is it really there? Because I can't see, taste, touch, or feel it?
Like God, yeah. Good analogy.
Hmm.
Has an impact. I see the results. You know, I see it, something popping up on my screen.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. From yesterday, Lunchback, I said I'd get the ears. 123 writes, this is on the No Answers in Genesis website under Creationist Frauds. The paragraph refers to Dr. Dwayne Gish and something he said in the debate. Quote, break time. Bombardier Beetle, welcome. Oh, I like the Bombardier Beetle. Welcome back to Dr. Gish at ICR and Bombardier Beetle in just a minute. You can instant message us over while during the break at Dr. Dino Live.
Have something in my hand I think you should own, and I'm not going to try to tell you that you don't already have it, but you, I am confident, do not have it all in one piece like you would if you owned a copy of the Citizen's Rulebook. Do you have a copy? Oh, this is in your shirt pocket, full force research at your fingertips, having to do with how to behave as a juror, the Constitution itself, the resources in here are just tremendous. And I'll be glad to send you a copy of this if you'll send me enough for postage plus a dollar. Whatever you want to contribute to Truth Radio, I'll send you a copy of the Citizen's Rulebook. Just get back to me at Post Office Box 344, Nipomo, California, 93444, and it will be coming your way.
Planets, rethinking the theory. Answers with Ken Ham, author of the enjoyable children's book, D is for Dinosaur. Well, Ken, how are some of the latest reports of planets discovered outside our solar system affect the popular belief that the universe is billions of years old?
Well, photos from the Hubble telescope are forcing scientists to rethink their theories on the origin of planets, which they tend to do quite often anyway. You see, scientists have found a large gaseous object orbiting two burned-out stars. Secular astronomers claim that the gaseous object is the most distant and oldest planet yet found in the universe, and they say it appears to have formed 12.7 billion years ago, within a billion years of the supposed Big Bang origin of the universe. But these conclusions actually challenge a core belief based on this Big Bang theory, that the planets could not have formed in the early stages of a supposedly evolving universe. That's because this theory doesn't allow for sufficient heavy elements to form so close to what they claim is the time of its origin. So the astronomers say this discovery shows that theories of planetary formation have to be revised. The point is, we often read of some discovery that causes those who believe in billions of years to change their theories as they find new and often contradictory evidence. But you know, God's word never changes.
Well, God's Word is the true history book, and that's the theme of Ken's brand new booklet, The Seven Seas of History. It's found on our website, AnswersRadio.com. AnswersRadio.com.
Folks, welcome back to Creation Science Hour and a Half. You're welcome to join us by being calling in on the program. We take phone calls first at 850-479-DINO, 850-479-3466, or 877-479-DINO. In either case, you then hit extension 136, and you'll be straight up to Jonathan live on the program. Or you can instant message us at Dr. Dino Live. We'll get to as many as we can, and then tomorrow we'll try to finish up those we left hanging, if possible. But it seems like every day we get distracted. Okay, but that's fine. We like the distractions. I was reading one from Lunchback about the No Answers in Genesis website talks about creation fraud by Dr. Duane Gish, saying the bombardier beetle is a fascinating insect which defends itself from attackers by ejecting a boiling hot chemical substance from its rear. Dr. Gish claims that it is impossible for this beetle to slowly evolve its mechanism, as a partially evolved system would be either useless or dangerous. Evolutionists do not think the bombardier beetle's evolution is a mystery. Of course they don't. They think nothing's a mystery. Everything can evolve.
Yeah, they can't. I mean,
you can't say this is a mystery how it evolved. I mean,
and if they do, they won't think that for more than a couple of days before they can whimsical a story up.
Sure, make up a story. They got plenty of good stories. Of course they don't think it's a mystery. Lunchback 123 continues and says, the beetle is a member of the family, Carabidae, and did I pronounce that right? Carabidae. And most species in this family have glands which secrete a noxious fluid used for defense. The bombardier beetle's mechanism is simply more highly developed than that of other related beetles. And this development is perfectly explainable in terms of natural selection. Of course it's explainable.
They just told us how it happened, too.
Right.
It's explainable by natural selection.
They've got it, so it must have evolved. Come on, what else do you want, Hovind?
Other bugs have noxious, glands, too, and so therefore that proves evolution.
Right.
Yeah, they got a point,
That's not an answer. Come on, you can do better than that. Lunchback, right in again.
People can go to, if they want to see more about the bombardier beetle through the perspective of Dr. Duane Gish, who's retired now. 84 years old, I think, is he?
83 or 84 when he retired.
He's kind of semi-retired. He's still writing and still speaking, just not full-time.
His wife died about 8 years ago, and 5 years ago he got remarried and tried to find a house near a grade school, planning on having some more kids.
Wow.
That's optimism.
Well, they can go to icr.org, the Institute for Creation Research, and read some more about his perspective on this devastating beetle to the evolutionist worldview, I guess.
To me, it's not just something amazing like the bombardier beetle. Simple things like a housefly or a single hair. I mean, you look at the hair on a bacteria, which has seven little bundles, fibers that flex and bend around, whip around, and the little motor that it's attached to. You could look at just anything in nature and be amazed at the intricate design and say, wow, what a mighty God we serve,
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to do that.
I believe it was Michael Denton who said, just looking at the cell, if you really wanted to even begin to appreciate the complexity of it, you'd have to magnify it towards, 40 billion times or something, where it resembles a giant airship, just to even begin to appreciate the complexity of this thing. And I got 50, 100 trillion of those things in my body right now, making up my body.
Right.
I take them for granted. Whenever I scratch, I throw a bunch off onto the ground, and these things are just mind-blowing.
It is. And they're all, it's like an airplane. It's got 4,000 or 40,000 parts, none of which can fly.
Mm-hmm.
You put them all together and it flies.
Yeah.
Okay. You get all these 50 trillion cells, put them all together and it now makes a human being capable of speech and thought.
Well, you got a great analogy in your seminar. You talk about all things work together for good to them that serve that love the Lord. And a guy shows up at your house hungry, and I guess you could take it from there, but great analogy.
Somebody says, I'm hungry, so here, I'll give you a cup of flour. Oh, it won't taste good.
It's a little dry.
How about a spoonful of salt? How about a spoonful of baking soda? How about a half a cup of Crisco? No, I don't want that. How about a half a cup of, buttermilk? No. Put them all together and you got biscuits.
Mm.
So Yeah, we have a lot of different parts to the body, and anybody thinks it evolved really needs help.
You had a debate with Dr. Michael Shermer, and somebody had said that there were about 11 different systems, the circulatory, the muscular, the skeletal, you know, systems in the body. Which one evolved first, which one evolved last, and which one evolved in the middle, and how did the others survive without these? You know, he really didn't even address that either. He's like, well, you know, they do work together pretty well.
True.
Yeah. Glad I answered that for you.
Yeah. Like your car, you have a system to make it go. You have a totally different system to make it stop.
Well, you look at, like, Michael Behe, and he says things like, you know, all these people arguing about Darwin's finches and the fluctuating beak sizes. Oh, they're bigger here, they're smaller here. He's saying, look, we know the system exists. Where did it come from? You know, where do the birds without, or where do the creatures without the beak get the beak? Where do the creatures without wings get these wings? You can't just assume they had them and then let's watch them change. Where do they get them in the first place? Where do the bones come from? Where do the blood circulatory system come from? They're
willingly ignorant.
Yep.
Like one guy said years ago, you have to have help to be that dumb.
You have a lot of help. Yeah.
There's no way you can do that on your own.
Like 20 years of education.
Yeah.
In public schools.
Here we go. Chips with wrinkles. Now, that rings a bell, Jonathan.
Oh, chips with ripples.
Ripples.
Yeah.
Oh, is that different than wrinkles?
Of course, ripples and wrinkles are kind of the same thing.
Similar, yeah, yeah. Chips with ripples, right. Hopman, how can you replace taxes with the church? What if everyone isn't Christian? Well, they should be.
Look at two. He's also saying, how can you replace taxes with the church? And never did we say you need to replace taxes with the church. He just said certain tax-funded organizations like, you know, feeding the poor, feeding the disabled, should probably be looked into. We might be offline again. I guess if we're offline, and we'll find out in a few seconds or something.
Hey, Povel, can we get a battery backup on our radio program so we can't lose it?
I've got one. Yeah.
Only for the computer, but not for the phone.
Not for the phone, yeah.
Well, the phone system's on battery backup, isn't it?
I can plug the phone in there. Later. I think we're still on.
I know we're still on. I'm just talking to the whole world here so they can hear us about our technical difficulties.
Helping
here.
In the ministry doing.
Yeah, we should not go off the air. According to evolution, and plus lightning strikes, how it all started, Jonathan.
Should be popping life up in the backyard.
That phone's going to come alive and start attacking you or eating you or something. You know, better
watch
it.
Dan Johnson and I had a fantastic idea. You know, we got a world-famous bookstore over here with a lot of great products and materials. If we take little rocks, you know, different colored rocks and so forth, and put them in little plastic baggies, we can sell them for Evolva Kid or Evolva Dog or whatever you want to evolve. You just add water, shake it, you know, wait a few million years. And from that rock, just like in real life, life will sprout out eventually. Just add water.
Evolva Dog.
Evolva Dog.
We could have different ones. Evolva Dinosaur, Evolva Dog, Evolva Bird.
Actually, we can have one rock that, if they just continue the process for a long time.
The stem cell rock.
Yeah.
It'll turn into anything.
Pluripotent, yeah.
Wow.
Omnipotent, whatever.
Yeah, there we go. We can make money on it. We got plenty of rocks out there.
We got tons of rocks.
Yeah, we've paid for them.
Have you seen those polished rocks, too? You can get some really nice rocks.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Those have to be more of a luxurious.
Evolver rock. I like that. Now, Chuck Missler came in to speak at a conference one time and had this big necklace on, black and white beads all over the place. Just black and white beads.
Like a rosary?
Well, it looked like a huge rosary. I said, what's this?
Mardi Gras.
He said, this is Genesis 1:1 in Morse code. The white beads represent, you know, spaces. The black beads represent dots, dashes, etc. You know.
Hmm.
He said, just with Morse code, giving only two options, you know, yes or no, or black or white, or, you know, space, or
on or off, open or close.
On, off, open, close. Just binary code. In order to make just Genesis 1:1, 10 words, would require some huge number of chances. The probability is, you know, 1 to the 40 bazillionth time or something like that. You know, it's phenomenal. He said, now, this bead, this necklace I have, is to show people the idea of how ludicrous it would be to assume that these beads could have strung themselves in this order by random chance.
At a prop on hand.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, that's just to get 10 little words together. To get a single human cell, it is, you know, trillions of times more complicated than that.
Well, Adam and I, the other web gap there, we do most of the programming here. We're saying that there's basically 10 types of people in the world, those who understand binary and those who don't.
Mm-hmm.
So,
true.
You got 1, 0.
Yeah.
for all the some people out there are thinking, huh? You know, that's only two. What?
There are three kinds of people, those who can count and those who can't. Okay. Here we go. Chips with Ripples says, how can you replace taxes with the church? I think I pointed out when I first made the comment that the church used to do those things, that now the government stepped in and took over because of the void.
But we weren't talking about, like, you know, sales tax and, you know, taxes like that. We're talking about organizations that take care of the crippled or something, you know, that are supported by tax dollars. A lot of those things could be done through families or through the local church or something like that, but not all taxes should be replaced
also,
with the church.
Also, look at the school situation. Private schools, let's say, pick a number and say you average about $1,500 a year to go to private, to go to a Christian school.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, some are more, some are less. Say $2,000 a year. Okay, public school right here in Escambia County is like $6,000 a year per child. So it costs somebody $6,000 per child per year for each public school student
to teach their kid that came from Iraq.
Right.
Yeah.
So let's assume a teacher has, you know, 25 or 30 students in their class. That's $180,000 for that one class to operate for 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And you look at a, you know, of course, the teacher doesn't make near that. Okay? The system,
$8 an hour or something.
System mm-hmm. leaks someplace real badly, okay? When each class is $180,000, you got to buy the building and pay the electricity. I understand.
It probably didn't leak. It probably flows predictably
flows, yeah.
into somebody's
flows,
account.
Right.
Yeah.
So here you got private schools doing twice the job for a third the cost. It's the same thing in every area. The more the government gets involved, the more the cost goes up.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the military now is contracting out so many things to civilian contractors. You can pay the guy $20 an hour and still come out way ahead.
Well, there's one gentleman that came here to trade some of our supplies with the, I can't remember his name. We thought he had a heart attack once, but apparently he didn't. It was someone else, or I can't remember what his name was. But, you know, he has a chart on his seminar slide showing the amount of money that was put towards different public schools and showing, I guess, the SAT scores or something from these. And it was like the more money that school received, the lower their scores were.
Hmm.
So the more money people were pumping
Fry.
Into these. Yeah, Bob Fry. That guy.
Bob Fry,
that guy. Yeah.
Yeah. Poets that don't know it, but your feet show it. They're Longfellows.
Yeah.
All right. So Chips with Wrinkles thinks, let's see, replace taxes with the church. What if everyone isn't a Christian? Well, they should be. First place, if everybody became a Christian and tried to live by what the Bible teaches, we wouldn't need many of the things the government has to spend money on now.
Mm-hmm. Secondly, I mean, just because someone's a Christian doesn't mean Christians shouldn't help them out. I mean, we're supposed to love our neighbor.
Sure.
If I see some wicked, sinful guy out there who fell down and busted his knee and needs help up, I'm going to go help him up.
Oh, the Good Samaritan.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Christ came down here and shed his blood on a cross for a bunch of wicked, vile sinners.
Right.
Why shouldn't we do the same thing?
And it's the Christians that go to countries like India and start orphanages and hospitals and, you know, over there they think, well, he's having a bad karma, you know. He
yeah.
must have been a cow in his early life and, you know, stepped
and
on
have the Muslims who go to countries and blow up the strangers.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. He says, there are so many complications that go into this church idea. I'm reading Chips with Ripples coming here. And that is why we no longer are in the feudal system. Well, I don't know if the feudal system is the same as the church system. I had to object to that. But believe it or not, America is most likely going to become just like every other advanced nation and adopt universal health care. It's just a better way to live.
Sounds like Canada.
I'll tell you what. Chips, whatever your real name is, you need to contact some of the people in Canada. I've been there probably 40 times.
Our good buddy Chris and Dan are there. Buddy.
Sure. Ask them about the Canadian health care system. Just see what you think. Okay. Ask them how they like having, you know, 80% of their money taken out for taxes.
I think that too. And if you live in Canada, and you know that your health care, my tongue twists up my merge wits, your health care is free. A lot of those people, they say go up there for the dumbest things. Oh, this ingrown hair is just annoying me. Can
right.
we do an, you know, emergency biopsy? Figure out what's causing it.
Sure.
You know, they sit, and the money's just wasted on, you know, looking at people's tonsils whenever they got, you know, a cough or something like that. It's just completely wasted because people take advantage of that.
Well, if we're going to have universal health care, okay, and apparently this writer, Ships with Ripples, thinks that's an advancement, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we have universal auto care?
Oh, I'd love that. Did you see those dents in my hood?
You got a dent. A tree limb fell on your hood, Jonathan.
A tree limb fell on my hood. and I got a busted headlight. I think the government should buy you a new hood and paint your car, and they should just buy you a new car.
I think they should, too, actually. John Gusty and I were riding back, and we were listening to a Christian CD by John Holmes, who used to work here.
Right.
Listened to a CD, and my stereo just turned off.
See, that's the government's problem. They should fix that. Nobody should be without a stereo.
I mean, if it happens to my body, if my blood just turns off, of course, I can go to Canada, and everyone up in Canada fixes it for me.
Now, see, if we had universal auto care, how would people drive? Okay. People that have ever owned a house and rented it out to somebody else, they will understand what I'm about to say.
Mm-hmm.
Other people will not understand. But if you own a house and you rent it out, then you understand. Renters don't look at things the same way property owners do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I have not had health care for 16 years now, and I have to take care of my health.
Yeah.
I watch what I eat. I take vitamins. I jump to conclusions. That's about the only exercise I get.
You just seen a chainsaw attack last year,
yep,
too.
Right. Chainsaw jumped out of the box and bit my leg. Man, I had to slap that thing silly. So I think if we're going to have universal health care, why stop there? Why not universal clothing care?
So everyone can be in style.
Everyone's in style. Government pays for everything. When you stop and look at the big picture and see, realize 70 to 80% of all health care costs in America are from problems that are self-induced.
Well, that'd be a question you need to ask people who are proponents of the universal health care system. If some guy is out driving drunk, you know, knowledgeably, knows he's doing it, has a wreck and cuts his left leg off, should we have to pay for his, you know, antibiotics and his medication?
Right, and the artificial leg and the rehabilitation.
All that stuff, yeah.
No, it's his fault. I mean, he's driving drunk. Now, there are accidents that happen where people, you know, they can't help it, okay?
Yeah.
I'm not against insurance. I'm just pointing out that 70 to 80% of health care costs are from problems that they did to themselves, so I don't want to pay for that.
Mm-hmm.
You want to smoke? That's okay. You want to get sick and die of cancer? That's your business. You want me to pay for it? Now it's my business.
Yeah.
And so that's the difference between the conservatives and the liberals. You know, the conservatives think, hey, you ought to take care of yourself. The liberals think, no, everybody should take care of everybody.
Well, responsibility just goes completely out the door.
Out the door, yeah. Universal auto care, I like that. We'll be back after the break, folks, for the final segment of the Creation Science Hour.
If you're like me, you believe the FBI has never apologized, never had any thoughts of regret about Ruby Ridge. Well, here's FBI negotiator Fred Lansley. Hear what he says.
We fouled up in front of the entire world, and it should never have happened. And I think it was just a really disappointing day for the FBI.
The FBI later admits to covering up facts during the court case, and the rules of engagement are deemed unconstitutional.
Well, the FBI may not have officially apologized for what went on at Ruby Ridge, but it was impressive to hear Fred Lansley speak out against his bosses. That's almost never done. This DVD, new to me, is really great. Lots of good background information about the Weaver case and Randy himself showing up and telling his story. You can have a copy if you write to me, P.O. Box 344, Nipomo, California, 93444.
Now, you're applying for a loan of $3,000?
Yes, we'd like to buy a used truck.
I see. According to this, you have assets of over $10 million.
Well, I'm sure it's a lot more, but I had to put something down.
So why do you need a loan?
To buy a truck. It's got air conditioning.
Okay, maybe we'd better list these assets.
Oh, okay, sure. Not that I'd ever sell them. Let's see, there's my wife. She's been a real asset to me. It's got to be at least $5 million right there. My boy just got his braces off, and hey, he looks like $1 million.
I don't think you understand. I meant real assets.
What does money have to offer that my family doesn't?
Well, it would definitely provide a lot of security.
My wife's been with me through the toughest of times. What more security do I need than that?
Well, still, you could buy a lot with $10 million.
You can't buy the feeling I had watching my boy hit his first home run in Little League.
Wealth. There's more than one way to measure it. A message from Lifeline Productions. 1-800-52-FUNNY at lifelinepro.com.
All right, folks, welcome back to the final segment of the Creation Science Hour and a Half. This is Kent Hovind and Jonathan Sampson live, July 14th and 32nd anniversary for me. And my wife is in Texas with my daughter and her sick husband at the hospital there. We'll pray for Paul and Marlisa. But you can call in and be on the program, 850-479-DINO, extension 136, or you can instant message us at Dr. Dino Live. Who we got on the phone there, Jonathan?
We've got Grant, I believe his name is Berthaway, from Louisiana.
Grant from Louisiana. Go ahead, Grant. Oh, hang on. We got the wrong button.
Here we go. Grant, you there?
There you go.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Go ahead. How can we help you?
Okay. I found this one website. It's called All About Archaeopteryx.
Okay.
And it's from the evolutionary standpoint. And there's one segment where they give a list of, I think, 20 or so features. About 75% of which they are using to place in the category of a dinosaur. Now, I was wondering if I could read those to you, if you could evaluate them, see if they're actually legitimate and whatnot.
Okay, I've got the page right up in front of me right now. Do you know it's Talk Origins, correct?
Let's see.
By Chris Nedden?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. I guess you just...
Just a little bit down the page, it goes to, in big bold letters to the left, Archaeopteryx's reptile features.
Okay, we got avian features. All right, I'm ready.
Premaxilla and maxilla are not horn covered. Doesn't have a beak.
Okay, before we get into all the list of similar features, oh, talk origins, yeah. Let's step back and look at the much bigger picture here, Grant, okay? All animals have similar features in that, I mean, you could point out that literally tens of thousands of animals have two eyes, for instance.
Of course.
Okay. Does that prove a common ancestor, or could it prove a common designer? If there are similarities between different types of animals, just like there are similarities between the Honda Prelude and the Honda Civic and the Honda Accord, what does that prove? You know, it proves a common designer. So even if they do find similarities between reptiles and birds, which there certainly are, I mean, they both breathe oxygen, you know, both give off CO2, they both have, you know, a nervous system, a respiratory system, et cetera, a skeletal system. I'm sure if you're looking for similarities, you can find them in a lot of places, you know. Skateboards and vans have a lot of similarities, too.
Well, there are birds today with teeth.
Sure. But what does this, the question is, yes, I agree with the similarities. The question is, what does this prove? Does it prove common ancestor, or could it prove common designer? Second thing you need to keep in mind, looking at the big picture here, is nobody has ever observed a dog produce a non-dog, or a cat produce a non-cat, or a human produce a non-human. Nobody has ever observed any animal produce something other than its kind. So, to look at a fossil, of which only six have been found, all from the same place in Germany, and say, wow, this is proof an animal produced something other than its kind in the past, I would say, stop, wait. They're not doing it today. Birds today produce birds. Reptiles today produce reptiles. Why would you think it was different long ago and far away? That's not, first place, it's not evidence that it's happening. Or even, and you find a fossil in the dirt like Archaeopteryx, all we know about Archaeopteryx is it died. Okay? You can't prove it had any offspring. You sure couldn't prove it had different offspring. And that would be just counterintuitive to say, well, birds today produce birds and reptiles today produce reptiles, but this, look at this bone. No, this one was able to do something different. They don't get it.
We look at also these, like Archaeopteryx is called a, quote, transitional fossil, and yet all these supposed transitional fossils are complete organisms. None of the, you know, Archaeopteryx does not have 75% arm, 25% wing.
It's a complete living organism able to function, you know,
yeah,
as it
is. We're the organisms with half a liver that's still developing. Why do we always find, you know, Archaeopteryx has, you know, modern feathers, morphologically modern feathers. Why aren't these primitive feathers if it's so old? I mean, why do we only find these fully formed creatures?
Yeah, flight feathers. Anyway, go ahead with your question then, Grant.
Anyway, first of all, I completely agree with you on that point. I mean, you can find some really weird critters. Today you have the platypus that has a bill like a duck, a big flat tail, It lays eggs, and it's poisonous, yet no one claims that it's the missing link between the duck, the beaver, the snake, and the reptile.
It's designed to be a platypus.
Exactly. But anyway.
I saw a guy took a Volkswagen, left the body on, a complete Volkswagen Beetle, and he put a motorcycle front tire on it, and so it only had one front tire. He ran a big bar up over the hood, took out the windshield, and had handlebars inside. He had to move the handle way back and forth to steer this thing.
Okay? Does this guy have medication in his pocket, too?
Yeah, he's on a Ritalin.
Okay.
But he had grossly modified this Volkswagen to be a giant three-wheeler.
Okay.
I mean, I've seen it done where they just cut them in half and put a motorcycle front, a real motorcycle front, and the Volkswagen rear end. But this was different. I saw the guy at the restaurant, talked to him about his car, went out and looked at it. Of course, he's real proud of the thing. Talk about impractical. You can't have any passengers because the bar is going to come over and hit him in the head when you swing over to steer the thing. You're on your own. But he looks cool, bright yellow, going down the street. So what does that prove? Yes, there are cars, there are motorcycles, there are buses, there are trucks. There are basic types of vehicles out there on the road. And then there's always somebody with Monster Garage wants to make a highly modified one. Okay, I think God has the authority to make some highly modified, you know, oddball animals like the kangaroo or the platypus. And so he can do what he wants just to show his incredible creative ability if he wants, but it does not prove of any common ancestor. They just don't get it.
Okay. Anyway, just my main question is questioning the validity of these facts. I know that, unfortunately, in their attempt to prove a theory, some evolutionists like Ernst Haeckel will actually fabricate so-called facts to prove their theory. So I'm just seeing if all these are correct. Anyway, does Archaeopteryx have a beak?
With teeth in it, I believe, is correct, yes.
Okay, so it does have a beak. It says the trunk region vertebrae are free. That in birds, the trunk vertebrae are always fused.
That I couldn't... you might want to contact University of North Carolina. What's the guy's name? Ostrom, or who's the expert on birds, who says Archaeopteryx is just a bird?
Fiducia,
yeah.
He's an evolutionist, too.
Oh, he's an evolutionist, big time. And one of the world's experts on the evolution of birds. He believes they evolved. But he says you can't count the Archaeopteryx. It's a perching bird. He says no amount of paleo babble is going to change that. It's a perching bird, a normal bird.
The next evidence, bones are pneumatic. Now, that one was a real easy one for me to discredit as evidence. Birds have hollow bones. So do some small dinosaurs. That's not evidence either way. Now, if it had solid bones, that would be kind of weird, but the fact that it has pneumatic bones means nothing either way. Anyway, moving on. Cubic shafts with a plate-like, slightly angled traverse cross-section. Now, I'm not quite big on anatomy. Could you explain to me in English what that means?
I'm just called up the article. Which under contents, which did you click on?
Very short way down, it goes to Archaeopteryx features, and a little way down from that, it has Archaeopteryx reptile features.
Got it.
Little letters off the left.
Okay. Yep.
Point number 8, cubic shafts, a plate-like and slightly angled traverse cross-section.
Okay. There are two types of hips among the reptiles, the bird hip and the lizard hip, okay? And it's interesting, they will say that it was the lizard hip reptiles that evolved into the birds. I would go back to the much bigger picture, though, of we don't ever see any animal produce anything other than its kind, so why should we start even down this rabbit trail of thinking that this fossil could do something which is not capable of being done today, which is produce something other than its kind? This would be so outside the realm of science, it'd be laughable, okay? This is religion. Okay, this bird may have had some features in the pelvic bones that are unusual for birds, okay? It had teeth in its beak, which is unusual. There are a few birds, you know, Archaeopteryx hesperornis, and there's a hummingbird from Panama that today has 48 teeth in its beak. It is very unusual for birds to have teeth, okay? But so what? I would point out the big picture that they're missing. Going from having teeth to not having teeth in birds today is an example of losing something. That's not an example of gaining anything. It lost something, for heaven's sake. So they don't get it either on that one. And it had claws on its wings. Well, there are 12 birds today which have claws on their wings. The Hawatzin, the swan, the ibis, I don't know the names of all of them, but You know, there are 12 of them. So what? And again, going from clause to no clause is losing. That's not gaining. So all the examples they give here are examples of losing something. How is this going to explain how it got them in the first place? I don't get it. That doesn't explain how it got it. It explains how it lost it. And there's no proof that this animal, this Archaeopteryx, is related to any animal alive today. None. You couldn't prove that? I mean, a kindergarten ought to figure that out. I don't know why these evolutionists don't get it. Okay, what other one bothered you?
Not quite sure that any of them bothered me. There's some I could tell right away that they weren't evidence either way. Basically, I'm just questioning the validity of the fact he gives here, seeing that if some of them are absolute forgeries, like Haeckel's drawing of the embryos. Like one, it mentioned that Archaeopteryx has gastalia.
How's that, number 13, I think I saw? No.
No, that is, going further down, number 23, last point, Archaeopteryx has gastalia.
Okay, you left out the R, gastralia, right? Ventral ribs, elements of dermal bone in the ventral wall of the abdomen. Typical in reptiles, these are absent in birds. Okay, well, I believe it was Fred Hoyle who said Archaeopteryx is a fraud. I don't know that that's true. I believe Walt Brown on his website has a section about that also, that Archaeopteryx may indeed be a fraud. I don't know if it is or isn't, okay? Doesn't matter to me. But if it has unusual features, again, this is not proof it's related to anything alive today. I'm not the expert on Archaeopteryx anatomy, that's for sure. You probably should talk to Alan Fiducia at University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. You can get it on the Internet. He's got all kinds of articles published about this Archaeopteryx thing. Guys, lay off. It's a bird. Give it up, okay? I point out in my seminar part 4, which you can get on drdino.com, I have about 20-minute section in there about dinosaurs coming from or turning into birds and how ludicrous it is for 30 or 40 different reasons. The modern birds, exactly like we have today, are found in rock layers that the evolutionists would say are older than Archaeopteryx. I think I show 4 or 5 pictures that are from news articles about people saying, hey, we found a 140-million-year-old bird, or we found a bird in a 140-million-year-old rock layer. Well, then Archaeopteryx is a moot point because it's supposed to be like 75 million years ago. So it doesn't matter if this thing's oddball. Birds are already here. So it could not possibly be transition. Does that make sense?
Yes, perfectly. I mean,
sure.
A lot of times they'll claim that the major group of the dinosaurs that birds came from were the dromaeosaurs. The thing is, according to their own timeline, dromaeosaurs, or as a lot of people know them as the raptors, did not evolve until 90 to 80 million years ago, whereas Archaeopteryx, they claim, is from 150 million years ago. You have the grandkids coming, the grandkids being coming before the grandparents.
That'll be tough, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Yes. I would say check out Alan Fiducia, where he's answered all this. Wasn't there a big article, Jonathan, in Nature magazine about the refuting Archaeopteryx or what?
I don't know, that last topic, that gastralia, I was just, looking this up on the Internet, and turned out plesiosaurs have them, too. So, I mean, does that show that plesiosaurs and theropods are directly connected as well?
Well, you can see how a plesiosaur could turn to a bird, man. Just start flapping them fins faster, and you'll fly. That's all you got to do.
I know that the book that we sell, Icons of Evolution, also iconsofevolution.com, Jonathan Wells' website, deals a lot with Archaeopteryx, and he's actually had some exchanges with the National Center for Science and Education on that topic and has defended their comments against that as well. So it's actually got several levels of criticism on his website.
Sure. But I like to always step back and look at the big picture. You know, I want the red pill. Show me what's happening. You know, show me the matrix. No animals today produce anything other than their kind. None. But say it happened long ago and far away is a fairy tale. Hey, thanks for calling, Grant. We'll be back tomorrow. Check in and check us out then. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Life. Could it exist on Mars? Answers with Ken Ham, one of the editors and writers for Creation Magazine.
Ken, there's been a lot of news recently about the search for life on Mars. Now, do you think there ever could be life on planets like Mars?
Well, from a Christian perspective, the Bible doesn't say whether there is or is not animal or plant life on other planets. But because the Earth was created first, and the sun, moon, and stars were made for signs and seasons for the Earth, I suspect God only created life on this planet. Also, the Bible tells us that the Earth is for the children of men, and the heavens are the Lord's. This again seems to indicate life was created specially here on Earth. We do know that there can't be any other races of people on other planets. You see, Adam's sin brought death and destruction to the whole universe, and only Adam's race can be saved, as Jesus stepped into history to become a man to pay the penalty for our sin. If there was another race of beings in the universe, they'd suffer from the effects of Adam's sin, but they couldn't be saved, as Jesus became a man to save only Adam's race. Personally, I believe that the millions, even billions of dollars being spent by NASA and other agencies around the world in a desperate attempt to find life on Mars or other planets is just a waste of money and time. If they didn't believe in evolution, they wouldn't waste all this money.
If Adam was the first man, how do we explain all the different people groups or races around the world? Ken Ham provides answers from both science and scripture in his free booklet, available at AnswersRadio.com.
Who's your best friend? If you're like most Christians, you would say it's Jesus Christ. Well, at Lifeline Long Distance, he's our best friend, too. And because we both have the same person as our best friend, we thought it might be good for us to get to know one another. And so to all of our new friends, we're offering you something special. Some of the lowest long-distance rates ever. 6.9 cents per minute all day on weekdays, and as low as 4.9 cents all day on Sunday. And here's another friendly gesture. Sign up with Lifeline, and we'll donate 10% of every long-distance call toward the advancement of the gospel. And if that's not enough, we'll also give you 50 minutes of free long distance just for switching. Now that may sound pretty generous, but after all, we have the same best friend. Lifeline. Long distance with a higher calling.
Phone 1-800-311-2418 and 10% of your long distance calling will support Truth Radio. That's 1-800-311-2418.